When the police came to search the building in question an hour later, they discovered that it did not contain any Christian children. In fact, it didn't even have a basement. They told the boy off for lying and sent him home, but the damage had already been done. By now, a crowd had gathered outside the building, which began to throw stones at the windows. Shortly afterwards, more than 100 soldiers arrived, supposedly to reestablish order. But after a gun was fired, and it's unclear by whom, these soldiers joined policemen in storming the building, grabbing hold of men and women they found there and forcing them out into the arms of the baying mob outside. Baruch Dorfman was on the third floor of the building, where he and a group of 20 others had barricaded themselves in a room. Quote from Baruch Dorfman. Quote, "But they started shooting at us through the door, and they wounded one person who later died from the injuries. They broke in. These were soldiers in uniform and a few civilians. I was wounded then. They ordered us to go outside. They formed a double row. In the staircase, there were already civilians and also women. Soldiers hit us with rifle butts. Civilians, men, and women also beat us. I was wearing a uniform-like vest. Perhaps that's why they didn't hit me then. We came down to the square. Others who were brought out with me were stabbed with bayonets and shot at. We were pelted with stones. Even then, nothing happened to me. I moved across the square to an exit, but I must have had such a facial expression that they recognized that I was a Jew who had been taken out of the building, because one civilian screamed, 'A Jew!' And only then did they attack me. Stones flew at me. I was hit with rifle butts. I fell and lost consciousness. Periodically, I regained consciousness. Then they hit me again with stones and rifle butts. One wanted to shoot me when I was lying on the ground, but I heard someone else say, 'Don't shoot, he'll croak anyway.' I fainted again. When I came to, somebody was pulling me by the legs and threw me onto a truck. This was some other military, because I woke up in a hospital in Kielce." Unquote. Some witnesses remember, and this is continuing with Keith Lowe, "Some witnesses remember Jews being thrown from the windows onto the street below. The head of the Jewish committee was shot in the back while he was phoning for help. Later, when 600 workers from the Ludwigshafen foundry arrived shortly after midday, some 15 or 20 Jews were beaten to death with iron bars. Others were stoned or shot by policemen or soldiers. The list of dead included 3 Jewish soldiers who had won the highest combat decorations fighting for Poland, and also 2 ordinary Poles who had apparently been mistaken for Jews. Also killed that day were a pregnant mother and a woman who had been shot along with her newborn baby. In total, 42 Jews were killed at Kielce, and as many as 80 others injured. A further 30 or so were killed in related assaults on the local railways." The striking thing about this massacre was the fact that the entire community had taken part. Not only men, but also women. Not only civilians, but also policemen, militiamen, and soldiers. The very people who were supposed to be keeping law and order. The racist myth of blood libel had been invoked. But the Catholic Church did nothing to refute this myth or to denounce pogroms. Indeed, the Cardinal Primate of Poland, August Hlond, claimed that the massacre had not been racially motivated, and that, in any case, if there was some anti-Semitism in society, this was largely the fault of Jews. Quote, "Jews who today occupy leading positions in Poland's government." Unquote. Local and national communist leaders responded a little more helpfully by prosecuting some of the main participants and by providing protection and a special train to take the wounded away to Lodz. But on the day itself, they remained mute. The reason given by the local party secretary was that he, quote, didn't want people to be saying that the party is a defender of Jews, unquote. The interior minister, Jakub Berman, who was himself Jewish, was informed of the pogrom while it was still going on, but also rejected suggestions that radical measures should be taken to stop the mob. Thus, even the highest authority in the land proved himself unable or unwilling to help. Just as in Hungary, the Polish communists, even the ones who were Jewish, were keen to distance themselves from any possible association with the Jews. And I'll have to leave it there. Thank you, as always, for listening. And until next week, peace.